You can turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, and we'll begin our reading at verse 12. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. May God bless the reading and hearing of His Word. I want to ask you this question. If you knew you were about to die, what would you do with the remaining time that you had? Peter in verse 14 says that the Lord Jesus Christ has told him or disclosed to him that he's near the end of his life. And so Peter remembers back almost 40 years prior when Jesus was here on earth and the glorious time they spent together. Of course, Peter was very immature. He was very impetuous in those days. Sometimes he jumped ahead. Sometimes he got out of line. But Jesus was patient with him. Jesus called him and discipled him, and Peter was in the upper room when the Holy Spirit was given. Peter is the one who was the spokesman for the Christian church and preached the great inaugural message at Pentecost. But Peter is remembering what is recorded in John chapter 21. Jesus had told Peter, "Peter, when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Then John just adds this editorial statement: Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Now somehow Peter realizes that that prophecy made perhaps 40 years prior is about to come to pass. History tells us that Nero is about to crucify Peter. Peter's hands will be stretched out on a cross. Clement, one of the early church fathers, writes towards the end of the first century these words: Peter, through unrighteous envy, endured not one or two, but numerous labors, and when he had at length suffered martyrdom, departed to the place of glory due him. And so Peter is facing death. Death is imminent. Peter could have died as early as about AD 65 after the fire in Rome. He died sometime before Nero dies in June of 68, so somewhere during that period of time. Peter expresses it in figurative language when he says that my body is like a tent, and I'm about to fold this tent up. I'm about to lay it aside. Peter doesn't seem to be morbid. He doesn't seem to be dreading death, but he is intent on one thing. And in the four verses that I read, I don't know if you picked up on it, but he uses the term remind, refresh your memory, and remember. He is talking about leaving behind a legacy. He's talking about leaving behind some things that he wants passed on. And thank God that what Peter saw and experienced was committed to the Holy Scriptures. And now, some 2,000 years later, although Peter is dead and gone, we're still reading his words. He doesn't want this truth to die. And so here on the first Sunday of a new year, let's talk about the future. And let me make a couple of observations from the text and then an application. First of all, the truth has to be preserved if it's ever going to be appreciated in the future. See, there were only three people that were on the Mountain of Transfiguration: Peter, James, and John. Wouldn't it have been a tragedy if what happened in that momentous event had been lost to the annals of history because neither Peter nor James nor John told us about it? Well, what they saw was, and what they experienced was, that they heard the voice of God the Father speaking audibly and saying, "This is my Son in whom I love. With him I am well pleased." did that happen or did it not happen? Well, there's only three people that heard it. There's only three people that experienced it. And Peter, now coming the end of his life, 40 years later, says, I want to insist that I did not make this up. We'll get into that in the verses that follow. But Peter says this really happened. And he says, I want you to remember this. Peter says, as long as I'm living, I'm going to tell you. I know you've already heard it, but I'm going to tell you again because I don't want you to forget. But the question is, how can the story live after the storyteller has died? And so verse 15 says, I will make every effort to see that you remember always, even after my departure. He uses a Greek word that's really the word Exodus. He says, I know I'm about to exit, but I want to leave for the record something behind. Now, if anything is left behind, it must be preserved. Peter tells us that he was not misled, but that he's carried along by the Holy Spirit. In chapter 3, he starts out saying that he's written two letters. We've been through the first letter. We're in the second letter now. And he says, I'm writing both of these letters because I want to preserve what God has said to me and what he wants me to pass on to you. Now, obviously, I can't experience everything there is to experience in life. When we come to a crossroad, if we choose to go to the left, we'll never know what the right would have taken us to. Conversely, if we choose to go down the right path, we would never know the road untraveled. But we can benefit from the experience of others. Those who took the opposite route can write their experiences. And so that's the joy of history, is that we can read and relive the experiences, the discoveries of others. I guess you know that I attempt to teach history of civilization. I tell my class that when I took history of civ, it was only one semester long. But now it's been expanded to a two-semester course. Actually, on the first day of class, most of my students are honest enough to admit that they think history is boring. And I spend the rest of the semester working as hard as I can to make it interesting and exciting. History can be interesting if we can learn from the mistakes of the past. I realize that some people feel that way about the Bible, that for some people the scriptures are unreal and boring. But thank God for these precious words that are written down, and I pray that as a preacher, the Holy Spirit can help me make the Bible come alive to you, because it is a living book. Thank God that what Peter and James and John and the other apostles and prophets and martyrs experienced and were shown by God, thank God those things have been preserved and passed on to us. And Peter is saying, I won't let you forget. The sad thing is some people never heard it the first time. But we've grown up hearing it. And Peter says in verse 12, even though you've already heard these things, I want to remind you. Peter says, I know they're firmly established in your mind, but I want to tell you one more time just to make sure. The Hebrew writer explains it like this: we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. It's amazing how quickly we can forget. Oh, we know, but we don't act like we remember. And so we first come to the truth. We then are established in the truth. And then we need to be reminded of the truth. You know, and that's why we come to church every Sunday. Now I want to congratulate everyone who's here this morning. Do you realize that you have a perfect attendance record for church attendance in the year 2017? But I want to encourage you to keep it up, because there'll be 51 more Sundays. And there are some people who say, well, I've been there once. Why do I need to go back? And some who says, I grew up and I've already heard it all. And Peter says, yes, I know. You not only have heard it, it's indelibly imprinted upon your memory. But Peter says, I need to tell you one more time. You see, that's why I preach from the same book every Sunday. We've been through this book before, but we need to be reminded. I started reading the Bible through when I was in the fourth grade. I believe that was about 10 years of age, I have at least read the Bible through once every year since then, and I know some of you want to know how old I am. But let's just say I've read the Bible through more than 50 times. You say, well, why don't you find another book? You already read that one. Well, Peter gives us the answer. I need to be reminded. It's amazing how quickly I can forget just some basic things like to love and to be kind and to be forgiving. Oh, I've read it for 50 years, but I need to read it again this year. And so do all of us. So I want to challenge you to find some system to be into God's Word. That's why we come to church every Sunday. We need to hear God's Word taught. We need to know what it says. We need to be reminded. See, this weekly Sabbath was instituted for Israel back under the Old Covenant. And part of the reason given in Deuteronomy chapter 5 is that they would always remember what they were. They were once slaves in Egypt. You realize that we do something. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. It's so easy to forget someone who is not physically and visibly in front of us. And so we do some of the same things every week, but we need those habitual reminders. Now, I know there's a lot of criticism about church and how boring it is and how all the ritual is just the same. And years ago, a man wrote to a magazine called the British Weekly, and he says, you know, I can't remember any sermons I've ever heard, and I question whether they're really necessary. In his letter to the editor, here's what he said. I have been attending church services for the past 30 years, and I have heard probably 3,000 sermons. But to my consternation, I discover that I cannot remember a single sermon. And he raises the questions, is it really all that important to come to church and hear another sermon? Well, there was a lot of letters that came back, pro and con, but there was one letter that kind of laid the whole matter to rest. A man wrote back and says, I've been married for 30 years. During that time, I have eaten 32,850 meals, mostly of my wife's cooking. Suddenly, I discover I cannot remember the menu of a single meal. And yet, I have received nourishment from every single one of them, and I have the distinct impression that without them, I would have starved to death long ago. And so they laid the matter to rest. No, you may not remember what was preached last Sunday or last year, but you still got good from it. But isn't it amazing? You can feed a family, clear off the table, put the leftovers away, and about an hour later, somebody will be raiding the refrigerator, won't they? Isn't it amazing how quickly we get hungry again? You say, boy, I don't think I'll ever be hungry again. But we are. And spiritually, we need to come back to God's table. We need to come to the bread of life. Preaching is very often simply reminding a person of what he already knows. It's bringing back to our memory the truths that we have forgotten or have refused to look at or don't really understand. And so we need to be Bible Christians, not in the sense that we can win a debate, but we need to be Bible Christians in the sense that we're living in God's Word because God has told us some things that we've all heard. But we need to remember again. Now, Scripture is not being written. Scripture is closed. We can't leave behind a book that will bear our name and that it'll someday be in the Scripture. But we can leave something behind for those who follow. And so the application of this message is that Peter left us two letters. That was his legacy. I'm not asking you to write a book to the Bible, but what will you leave as your legacy? I heard about a man with a terminal illness. He had a young family and knew that he would not likely live to see his children grow. And so he wrote a special blessing for each of his children, which his wife would keep. And when those children graduated from high school or got married or had their first child, she would deliver the appropriate letter of blessing from their departed father. That was his way of leaving a legacy. Now, maybe that appeals to you, maybe it doesn't, but let me just ask you for the sake of the point I'm trying to make. If you were going to write a letter, what would you write? Would you complain about the weather? Would you tell them about your aches and pains or your disappointments? Realizing that they might open and read that letter 25 years after you're gone? No, those are not the things we want to leave behind. Those are not the things we want to be remembered for. We want to bless someone. We want to point them to those eternal truths that ultimately are centered and grounded in God's Word. I've thought, what would my legacy be as the pastor here? Well, after I'm gone someday, what will you remember about me? I hope you'll remember that I believe the Bible was God's Word, and that as such it is trustworthy, that it contains the answers to all the problems we will face and the pattern for living. Its promises tell us that we can know God through Christ, but we really know Christ first through His words that are recorded in Scripture. I didn't write this, but someone else wrote, read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. That's the thing that matters. That's the thing that lives on. Someone wrote a song that says, if I can help someone as I travel along, if I can help somebody with a word or a song, if I can help somebody from doing wrong, no, my living shall not be in vain. That's what drives us when we think about the legacy that we leave behind. So Peter's focus in these verses is memory and remembrance. Memory can either be a powerful force for good or evil. Parents, remember that the little children in the back seat are like tape recorders. And they record the things we would like to delete sometimes. Sometimes the things we thought got erased get played back at the most inopportune times, don't they? But the right impulse can cause you to rewind your memory bank and replay. I can remember sermons. I can remember special events in my lifetime that involve people who have long gone off the stage of action. But Peter says, I want to leave something behind. And I hope every one of us leaves something behind that is positive and will point people to ultimate truth. May God help us then to forgive even when we can't forget. May God help us to remember the things that matter. May God help us leave behind memories that are precious for other people. And so let that be our challenge for this year. Leave a positive legacy. In order to do that, we have to be positive, faith-based people. And in order to be that, we have to be people of the book, don't we? Find some system or some method to get into God's Word. Say, how much do I have to read? Oh, let's not make rules. It's not that you're more spiritual if you read three chapters and I just read two. Here's what we're aiming for. Read God's Word until God's Word becomes a part of you, assimilated. It's better to read one verse and meditate on it and assimilate it and let it become a part of your life than to simply say, well, I've read through the whole book, but I don't believe it. See, get into God's Word until God's Word gets into you. And then God's Word begins to change us from the inside out. And then the things we say and do are a positive memory. Those things added together become the legacy that we leave behind. You see, Peter knew that he didn't have long to live. I hope this doesn't sound too negative, but actually none of us are going to be here forever. The only difference is Peter knew he was on a short leash, and some of us don't know how long we have. And so let's just purpose that starting today, we'll leave behind something that's positive. And then regardless of how long or short the time is, we just keep on that same track. All right, you say, I've got it. I hope so. I hope I've got it. But you know what? I need to be back next Sunday just to be reminded, because in the six to seven days that follow, it's amazing how quickly. Isn't it amazing how quickly you can make a New Year's resolution and then forget it? And so the way we keep on track is to keep reminded of what God has told us. Let's stand and look to Him as we close this morning. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your eternal word. But it doesn't do much good on a coffee table. May Your word become assimilated into our memory, and may it influence our personality and our character. Help us to be people of faith. Help us to leave behind a legacy that others can point to and benefit from. We pray all this in Jesus' name.